It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Mike Martinez on the ones and twos today, playing some house music, apparently. Welcome back to the Appleton Program. Ray will be back tomorrow in the house. Coming up throughout the rest of the Appleton Program today, got a lot of crime news to get through. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on some of the more disturbing things, but there are some disturbing things I do want to get across to you so you're aware of them, including the very latest. I know Broski and Christopher Gabriel tackled the situation down in Los Angeles concerning that touring nurse, or the traveling nurse, I should say, Nicole Linton, who had 13 prior crashes and, according to her attorney, significant profound mental health issues prior to that massive explosive fiery crash down in LA the other day that killed several people, including an unborn baby. We've got a development on a cold case murder. A Fresno native has been arrested from this 1982 cold case murder of a teenage girl. The guy was picked up in Hawaii. So they traveled to the islands to find this thug, apparently. We've got inflation discussion coming up in the next few minutes. We've got a special guest in about 10 minutes from now that we're going to check in with from Wallet Hub, and that is analyst Jill Gonzalez. She's going to be discussing inflation. New numbers out this morning. Inflation dropping, quote unquote, to 8.5%, but prices remain exorbitant and increasing. Gas prices dipping a little bit. That's a bit of good news, I guess. Wall Street was up this morning as a result. We'll have the closing numbers for you in about an hour, hour and a half here on KMJ. But want to continue and put a bit of closure on the situation with President Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. Quite frankly, they are distancing themselves from this guy, and you can't blame them. Look, to reiterate what I said in the first hour, I, like all of you, want the best for this country. I want a president in charge, whether it's a Democrat or Republican or an NPP. As long as the person is capable of thinking straight, you know what I mean? And carrying through with actions that are necessary of the highest office in the land. But we've reached a point, and it seems like a point of no return, where President Joe Biden continues to just falter, and physically, mentally, it's no bueno, folks. Images of President Biden reaching to shake hands when nobody's there. You've seen him. Constant videos showing him mumbling are weighing on the public about his mental health, and it's especially rattling the Democratic Party and whether or not to decide on voting to reelect him in 2024. Of course, Biden himself is on the record saying he's running again, but let's be real. Let's just take a real step back and an honest perspective of what's going on in the White House today. There's no way the Democratic Party can renominate him for president. It's just, it cannot happen. The American populace will not vote for him again. It will not happen. He'll get a handful, but his time is coming up quickly. New survey out this morning, as published by the Washington Examiner this morning, says, quote, a significantly high percentage of Democrats are now concerned about Biden's situation. And this is not just the critics, folks. This is not just the right. This is not just the GOP or critical Democrats and blue dog Democrats, as it were. Here's the story. Among Democrats, for instance, just 39% of Democrats say they are worried about Biden's mental health versus 82% of Republicans and 56% of independents. But that 39% of Democrats, while not a majority, obviously, has risen enormously in the last couple of months. Overall, 59% surveyed in this poll said that they are concerned about Biden. 36% say they are very concerned. I think that's an underwhelming number. I think that is not accurate. So the report goes on to say, says, quote, the fact is, based on these polling data, there is genuine concern among virtually all groups over Biden's cognitive health. It has taken on political urgency with the looming 2022 midterm elections. Yeah, you think? We are looking at a lame duck. He spoke today at the White House for a ceremony. He did okay, I guess. I didn't hear the whole thing. The mumbling was at a relative minimum considering what he's done in the past few months. It looks like he's gotten over COVID for the most part. He's doing okay health-wise from that perspective. But I got to tell you, we are looking at a lame duck president for the next year and a half, 2 years. He's done. What does the Democratic Party do? They are looking inward right now. A lot of polls are saying, okay, you know, I was watching Fox News this morning, and they got into a relatively silly conversation as far as I'm concerned. I can't remember if it was Shannon Bream that was asked this question. Why doesn't Biden go ahead and select his successor? Well, you wonder why. Because the obvious successor is Kamala Harris, and ain't nobody going to vote for Kamala Harris. She's a joke. She's an absolute loser as the number two. She cannot win in 24, no matter who she goes up against. She's proven nothing in her role as VP. She was put in charge of the border. Where's that gone? It's gone to hell in a handbasket. Oh, yeah, the Biden administration decides a couple of weeks ago to resume building a wall. You wonder why? Because the border is out of control. They have not quelled, by any stretch of the imagination, the influx of illegal immigrants and gangbangers and drug dealers, fentanyl pushers, coke pushers, child traffickers into this country. They've done diddly squat. It was a stupid question to put in front of, I believe, again, it was Shannon Bream this morning. And I don't think she handled it exactly right. She was very diplomatic about it being, that's why she's on national TV and I'm on Fresno Radio. But I'm being honest. It was a silly question. There's a reason he can't tap the number two, the VP, Kamala Harris, because she's not worthy of the position. She's not qualified for the position. Now, you can dispute that, yeah or no. She was a sitting senator, an attorney general, a district attorney. She's got a great resume, VP. But we all know that she's certainly not going to be the next president of these United States unless something very unfortunate happens to our current sitting president. So who's next in line? Is it Buttigieg? Is it somebody waiting in the wings that we may not be totally cognizant of at this date, the 10th of August of 2022? Maybe. We shall see. Hey, when we come back after a quick timeout, want to talk inflation. New numbers out this morning if you missed it. Yeah, inflation dipped a bit. Woo! Down to a whopping 8.5%. Yet, what's your wallet looking like? What's your checking account looking like? What's your savings account looking like? Your 401k. Yeah, mine too. Special guest, financial analyst from Wallet Hub, Jill Gonzalez, coming up next, talking inflation. Stick with us on KMJ.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
It's free.
KMJnow.com.
Welcome back to the Appleton Program. Ray will be back in the big seat tomorrow here on KMJ and always streaming live at KMJnow.com. Appreciate you being along. We had a really good first hour and 15 minutes of the program. Let's continue that progress. Joined right now by analyst with Wallet Hub, Jill Gonzalez, talking about inflation. New numbers out this morning, Jill, and appreciate you being on KMJ today, Jill. The new numbers that were released this morning, inflation actually dropped, if you can believe it, by 8.5%, still absorbently high, and it's crushing a lot of people's bank accounts these days. Were you surprised by the drop to 8.5% this morning?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised. It was 9.1% in June, which was a 40-year high. So, you know, given that it did reach kind of that peak, I would say that was a little bit less surprising, but still, we didn't expect a drop necessarily for a while.
Why is that?
Well, nothing really is giving here. You know, we're seeing this explosion in inflation driven by a variety of factors. One of them is the continued presence of the COVID pandemic on top of, you know, a new pandemic in terms of monkeypox. Now, we still have the war in Ukraine. We still have labor shortages. So nothing is necessarily giving yet. The one thing that is changing is the Fed being pretty aggressive in raising interest rate hikes. So maybe that is working.
The Fed increasing interest rates these days, it's an interesting debate that has erupted because of that. Do you think that's exacerbated inflation in the U.S., or is that going to eventually help toggle it down a bit?
It should eventually keep it down. That is what we've seen in the past. But what we haven't seen in the past is the Fed doing this while we're in the midst of these other factors. So I do think that it would be working, but to what extent and how much of an effect will still remain to be seen.
We're talking with Jill Gonzalez, Wallet Hub analyst. Their new report out today cites the cities in America where inflation is growing the most, and you may be really surprised by the top city or worst off city, I guess you should say. I'm going to get to that in a minute, but you mentioned something about in the last question prior, Jill, was the ongoing pandemic, the COVID pandemic, and I don't know if I would call monkeypox a pandemic at this point, but it is something to be concerned, obviously, and watch out for. But the ongoing, you said the ongoing COVID pandemic is still playing a role here. And the lack of staffing and folks getting back to work on plant floors at restaurants. What the hell is going on? People are hiring left and right, but folks seem to still be sitting on their couch watching Netflix.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I mean, there are still COVID restrictions that are still limiting production in some areas. You know, you're talking about plants and factories. I mean, that's where we're seeing that. So that does affect the supply and demand chain, which is essentially what inflation is all about. So the COVID restrictions still in place don't really seem to be going anywhere. And we do see, you know, new variants and new cases popping up this month even. So, you know, that is still here, and there is still that decrease in the labor force participation rate that we've seen essentially since COVID started. So that's kind of what's going on and what is still contributing to inflation. And that's something that we haven't really dealt with in the past.
How do we get these workers back in action and back on payrolls? Is it going to be some sort of incentive, you know, plan, bonuses, that kind of thing? Because I got to tell you, man, America got really lazy about summertime of 2020 when everybody was sent home, or a lot of people were sent home and were able to work from home, do maybe 4 hours of work in an 8-hour job typically at an office or a warehouse somewhere. What's being bandied about there to attract workers to get back in the workforce?
Well, we are seeing what's called stagnation now, too, where a lot of wages have been stagnant for years. So I think, you know, in certain sectors, a boost in wages could help. Mm-hmm. But there is that factor of, you know, people are used to working remotely now and they want to work remotely. So they are looking for jobs where that can be done. And a lot of times, obviously, that's not in a plant, it's not on a floor somewhere. So that's why we're still seeing, you know, this balance of COVID restrictions and a decrease in the labor force.
You know, here in California, the new report out from Wallet Hub this morning is why we contacted you to bring you on again. Jill Gonzalez from Wallet Hub joining us here on KMJ talking inflation. You guys put out a very interesting report this morning, and it details the cities in America where inflation is growing the most as of right now. And I got to tell you, I was shocked with the number one ranked city in America. Can you give us some shed some light on that?
Yeah, the number one city in terms of where inflation is growing the most is actually Anchorage in Alaska. They've seen, just versus the last year, almost a 13% increase.
Wow.
In terms of inflation. Just from 2 months ago, it's risen 7%.
What's triggered that in Anchorage, Alaska, of all places? Is that oil, shipping, lumber?
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially all of those things, but especially, you know, an increase in essentially logistics and the cost of shipping, where they are essentially reliant on a lot of exports. So that's why we're seeing such a big change there. But, you know, there are a lot of cities here are not too far behind.
It's kind of tough to work from home when you're in the logging industry and or the shipping industry or in wildlife, which is all of the big predominant industries in Alaska. I got to tell you, that just kind of blew me away.
Yeah, I think there it's, again, labor shortage, absolutely. There's also a little bit of a decrease in tourism, which it was pretty heavily reliant on.
Sure.
So, you know, it's still suffering from a lot of these COVID factors.
Well, let's stay on the West Coast. Of course, folks might not think of Alaska as being the West Coast, but they're really Northwest Coast. Let's talk California specifically. I was digging up some of the Fresno numbers this morning. Fresno did not come in the top 20, where inflation is the worst as of right now in the country. But we did have a few bigger cities in California, L.A., San Diego, San Francisco. Can you kind of break those down for us?
Yes. So California as a whole, not doing too badly. It didn't have any cities in the top 10. Of course, this is a ranking where you don't want to be in the top 10. The highest ranked city was Riverside. Or these were all metro areas. So Riverside, San Bernardino ranked 13th overall. So just year to year, about a 9% increase in inflation. LA ranked 17th at around 7.7% of an increase. San Diego ranked 19th at 7.3%, and San Francisco ranked 20th at 6.8%.
Are there any consistent contributing factors to San Diego, Riverside, L.A., the Bay Area, all having significant problems with rising inflation amongst the worst in the country right now? Is there a single thread that you can kind of link those cities to?
As far as things like labor shortages, I think we are seeing that a little less frequently in California to begin with. So that is a good sign, especially when it comes to the service industry. And that's the same thing that's kind of happening in New York as well. Unemployment a little bit better. So people a little bit more resilient in terms of getting back and participating in the labor force.
We're talking with Jill Gonzalez, an analyst with Wallet Hub. The new report out today is kind of breaking down some of the best and worst places in America when it comes to inflation. The new numbers out this morning from the Fed, inflation dropping to 8.5%. Prices remain high. Gas is actually dropping over the past few weeks, down a couple of pennies every day, it seems. Here in Fresno, Jill, we're averaging $5.38 a gallon for regular unleaded here in Fresno, California. But on my way to work this morning, I saw several gas stations at $4.99 a gallon. And quite frankly, sadly enough, I was kind of giddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Gas is one thing that kind of peaked. So that's something that hopefully we should see decreasing. It's also, you know, nearing the end of summer, the end of road trip season, where gas typically is higher anyway, but obviously due to inflation was at its highest point.
So where do you see the next report coming down the road in a couple of months when it comes to inflation, Jill?
Well, you said yourself, we did see a little bit of a dip here, and then that is already sooner than expected. I think in the months to come, we'll kind of see it ebb and flow. It does depend on what the Fed does, but you know, when we're looking at Q4, that is, again, kind of peak supply and demand season when it comes to the holiday season, shopping, shipping, and a whole lot of demand. So I do expect inflation to kind of bubble up again then.
All right. Jill Gonzalez, Wallet Hub analyst. We really appreciate the time this morning here on KMJ. Have a great day, Jill. Appreciate it.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Jill Gonzalez, analyst with Wallet Hub, wallethub.com. You can check out their very latest report out this morning concerning the cities with the worst growing inflation situation. Thank God that Fresno is not in the top 20. However, San Diego, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Riverside, the typical players are cracking the top 20. And speaking of inflation, the buzz question at KMJNow.com, how much have you cut costs due to rising inflation? Have you cut 5 to 10% off your budget? 10% or more? Have you not cut anything at all? Are you just spending willy-nilly because you're flush with cash money in your wallet?
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
It's free.
KMJNow.com.
35 past the hour. Good Wednesday to you. Blake in for Ray. Mr. Appleton will be back in the big seat tomorrow here on KMJ and always streaming live at KMJNow.com. Ray was one of the featured speakers today at the services for the late, great Jack Hanna, who was laid to rest just a little while ago today. A huge, by the way, turnout for his funeral. Good to see that. He was a great guy. Of course, co-founder of Sons of the San Joaquin, that country western folk group that was just amazing. He was just an invaluable citizen of Fresno and the Valley for, I guess he passed away at the age of 88, I believe. And man, just a loss to the community, but he's in a better place now, looking down upon the valley and singing those great old tunes and probably playing catch and hitting some fungo in his Fresno State uniform up in the clouds. So we wish you well, Jack. We're going to miss you, man. Again, Ray will be back tomorrow. Thanks again to Jill Gonzalez from Wallet Hub for joining us in the last segment talking inflation. It's down a couple of ticks in the new federal report out this morning, down to 8.5%. Still not a good situation. Fresno, L.A., San Francisco, Riverside, amongst the worst in the country when it comes to ongoing rising inflation. Gas prices are down a couple of ticks in the past couple of days. Again, as I mentioned, we're averaging $5.38 a gallon here regular in Fresno. But again, I did pass a couple of gas stations this morning selling regular at $4.99 a gallon. That's the cash price, so keep that in mind if you want to save a few nickels. So that actually made me feel good. And it's kind of sad that a $4.99 gallon of gas will make you feel good. But that was the focus of our daily buzz question today at KMJNow.com. It's concerning inflation. How much have you cut costs in recent months due to rising inflation? Just curious. Have you cut maybe 5 to 10% off your budget recently or your spending? Maybe if you cut 10% or more, or are you just so loaded with Ben Franklin's in your wallet that you're good to go and you're spending willy-nilly and that you have cut no spending at all? Just curious. KMJNow.com, the Daily Buzz question, as always, brought to you by the good folks at the Boz Allergy, Asthma, and Sinus Center. And I have some results for you. And it's kind of split, folks. The KMJ audience is kind of split on this one, so it's a good one. That we're asking today. Again, go to KMJNow.com. We'll give you updated results as we close the show. But here are the results right now. How much have you cut costs due to rising inflation? 29% of you say you've cut the cost by 5 to 10%. 42% of you have cut your costs by 10% or more. I got to tell you, 42%, that's a pretty big number. But 29% of you say you've cut nothing at all. So 29% have cut 5 to 10%, 29% have cut none at all, but 42%, a big majority right now, have cut 10% or more of your spending. Interesting. We'll give you the updated results throughout the afternoon here on KMJ and KMJNow.com. That's the buzz question. Vote now, vote often, as they always say. Hey, and speaking of inflation, you know, it's hitting everybody everywhere. It's good news that the gas prices are coming down slightly. Okay, we can take that as a bit of a win, maybe a draw at this point. But of course, it's back to school time across the country. My kids went back to school for their first day today. And, you know, we cut back a little bit on spending for back to school. And you know, it was a conscious thing. We've cut back on going out to dinner, out to lunch. We're brown bagging it a lot of times now, eating leftovers more often than we probably should have been over the summer months. But a recent survey out this week from Morning Consult, it's illuminating the pressure that sky-high inflation is placing on families. 36% of those polled say that providing back-to-school items is not a financial challenge yet. However, another 40% say they are concerned about how much items will cost this year. Nearly 1 in 5, a quarter, say they cannot afford to buy everything their kids need to go back to school. Whether that's new jeans, a new jacket, a new backpack, new shoes, obviously. Those are always the biggies with growing kids every year. Hell, every 6 months for some kids. I know I was busting through my Adidas and New Balance every 6 months when I was growing up. My parents, you know, were not rich by any means. We were mid to lower mid class. And so that was a tough get. And the price of shoes these days, as we all know, have skyrocketed in the past couple of decades. Thank you, Nike and Phil Knight. Anyway, it's a serious concern for middle class to lower middle class, to those really struggling on the line of providing food on a daily basis for their families, in particular here in California and especially the Central Valley, where the wages are much lower than many other parts of the country. It's a difficult situation, and I get it. Speaking of Nikes, Kobe Bryant, the late great, in many people's eyes, late great basketball player, Kobe Bryant. Some weren't too happy with his personal life, but neither here nor there. It was a tragedy that we lost him. What was that, a year and a half, 2 years ago now? Jeez. Well, Kobe Bryant's back in the news today, folks, if you have not been paying attention. The trial has begun today down in Los Angeles. The trial beginning today over Kobe Bryant's helicopter crash photos. It started this morning at a U.S. district court just over a mile from where the Staples Center, where Kobe Bryant once starred for the L.A. Lakers. It's an invasion of privacy trial against L.A. County Sheriff's Department and the fire department there. Kobe's widow, Vanessa Bryant, claiming deputies did not take the photos for investigative purposes at the scene. Of course, we all know what happened. Those deputies or someone there on law enforcement or first responders shared them with the firefighters who responded to the January 26, 2020 crash scene in the hills north of L.A. The lawsuit said a deputy showed the photos to bar patrons and bar flies, basically, and that a firefighter showed them to off-duty colleagues. So Vanessa Bryant, Kobe's widow, is seeking millions in compensation. Here's the question. Does Vanessa Bryant, Kobe Bryant's widow, deserve compensation, millions in compensation for law enforcement making these disturbing videos or pictures, rather, of the crash scene that took, what was it, 6 or 7 lives, including Kobe Bryant, his daughter, several other folks, including baseball coach down in Orange County and his family. Does Vanessa Bryant, do you think she'll win this case? It's an interesting one. So Kobe Bryant, his 13-year-old daughter Gianna, 5 other parents and players were flying to the girls' basketball tournament when their chartered helicopter crashed in the Calabasas Hills area of L.A. in the fog. Again, that happened in January of 2020. Pilot error was to blame for the wreck. The guy flew into the fog, lost his way, boom. Sorry to put it so bluntly, but that's what happened. Terrible tragedy, crashed into the side of the hills there in Calabasas. And almost immediately, it seemed like, as I recollect, that those pictures were showing up on social media within 24, 48 hours. I mean, it was sick. It really was sick. And I don't recall exactly, was TMZ involved in paying for those pictures? I can't remember. I don't want to put TMZ on blast more than they already are on a daily basis. But I can't remember exactly what occurred with them. But if I recollect correctly, they may have been paying for the pictures. That's an allegation that may be unsubstantiated. I just can't remember exactly. The last 2.5 years have been kind of weird, and a brain fog has gone into my head as well. But she's suing for millions of dollars. I don't know if she's going to get millions, but what those officials on site did was reprehensible, disgusting, disturbing. They knew who had died in the helicopter crash. It's hard to not miss Kobe Bryant. Dude, 6'8", 240 pounds, specimen of a man, an athlete, and his young daughter, and those five other folks tragically killed in that helicopter crash. Just sad. Just terrible. And then you compound that sad incident, that tragic accident, by taking photos of the scene and then show them to your buddies at the bar. I mean, what's going through your brain, man? What is going through your brain to do something like that? By the way, if you're not aware, the Los Angeles County officials have already agreed to pay $2.5 million to settle a similar case brought on by two families whose other relatives died in the crash as well. Vanessa Bryant did not settle her case, so she's seeking more money. And the litigation's been ugly thus far. When the county sought a psychiatric evaluation of Vanessa Bryant to determine whether she had suffered emotional distress because of the photos, her lawyers then criticized the quote-unquote scorched earth discovery tactics to bully her and other members of victims to abandon their lawsuits. Yeah, do you think she might have been emotionally distressed when her husband and her young daughter die in a helicopter crash? Yeah, you think? She might have been a little bit stressed out. Who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be? I understand a lawyer's got to do their job for the best of their constituent, their client. But that scorched earth, yeah, that's scorched earth territory. It's disgusting. 490-5858. 47 past the hour when we come back. Another sports note to tell you about. Not that Kobe Bryant and his daughter and those other folks unfortunately passing away in that tragic helicopter crash is not really a sports story, but involving a superstar athlete. Another superstar athlete in the news today. Want to mention the latest on Serena Williams. A little development in her career. We'll talk about it next. Stick around. This is the Appleton Show on KMJ and streaming live at KMJNow.com.
Right now,
the Valley's legendary Ray Appleton.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, KMJNow.com.
Good Wednesday to you. 8 minutes to go till the top of the hour. Then Liz Kern will cover the day's top of the hour news in the KMJ News Center. Appreciate you being along. Blake Taylor in for Ray today. Ray will be back tomorrow here in the big chair at KMJ. Don't forget, at 2 o'clock, it's Philip and Skip in the afternoon drive. Mark Levin, the great one, from 6 to 9. Ben Shapiro at 9 p.m. tonight. Then Armstrong and Getty at 10. 490-5858 is the number, 490-5858. The trial beginning this morning down in Los Angeles County. Vanessa Bryant, the widow of the late, great Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna as well. Of course, they passed away tragically in that helicopter crash in January of 2020. She is suing the L.A. County Sheriff's Department and the L.A. County Fire Department for taking pictures of the scene of the crash that took her husband's and her daughter's life. Then, of course, it made it onto social media and to national news and to, you know, conspicuous websites out there that purport to be news. And she's seeking compensation. Now, some of the other families settled for $2.5 million in their case, but she's not settling for $2.5 million. No, sir. She's going after a multi-million dollar settlement. What do you think about it? 490-5858. Let's go to line one. Christy, you're next on KMJ. Hi, Christy.
Hi. A couple things. I have a little more investment. My son was friends with Kobe. He shared Lamar Odom had him in his home, and he lived down there, and he did some things with them. And,
oh, wow.
You know, Kobe made a mistake,
yep.
You know, several years ago, as did many sports figures.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, people, you probably know when someone down the street, you know, I do.
Yep.
But anyway, I of course followed the Lakers, and my son used to be at the games all the time, and Kobe made mistake, but he paid for those mistakes.
Yes, he did.
Became a real family man.
Yep.
And he didn't do a lot he did a lot outside of basketball. He didn't go out and party. He and he and Lamar Odom actually were friends and did some things together, but they did. He didn't really. After that, he was a father and a coach to his daughter, and he also gave much time and money to kids' programs, and you know, he built up the place where they were headed and that kind of thing.
Yep.
I think it's wrong, the sensationalism that those, whether it be the officers, the firemen, their wives put out on whatever, whoever put out those pictures is being pretty thoughtless about, I don't care who they were, whether it was Kobe and Vanessa, you know, and his family, whether she had a big block.
Yep. All right, we're losing you there, Christy. Your phone is breaking up, and couldn't agree with you more. Listen, Kobe turned his life around. Not that this is what the story is about, but after he was accused of sexual assault charges in Colorado, I believe it was a couple of years into his illustrious basketball career, he got that settled. Vanessa stuck by his side. She got a gigantic ring as a result of the apology, and you're right. Kobe turned his life around, turned into a good family man, a great coach to his daughter. His daughter, Gianna, by the way, as I understand it, she was going to be a budding superstar, a potential WNBA type of talent in a few years from that point on. And she was absorbing everything basketball-wise that Kobe was putting out there and teaching his kids. So, you know, best of luck to Vanessa Bryant, and I hope what she gets what's coming to her. I hope she gets what's right. Hey, quick other sports tidbit here. Want to mention that 23-time Grand Slam champion Serena Williams is saying so long to tennis after seven Wimbledon, seven Australian Open titles, six U.S. Open trophies, three French Open crowns. Serena Williams, at the age of 40, is officially retiring from tennis. I say good on you, gal. In my opinion, hands down, Serena Williams, the greatest women's tennis player ever on this planet. And I'm talking better than Martina Navratilova, Chrissy Everett, Margaret Court, Steffi Graf, Billie Jean King, even her sister Venus, who was the first out of that family to make it big. Serena, best of luck to you in the private sector as she goes on to be she's going to be a superstar success businesswoman and family woman and mom now. Do you know she was pregnant when she won her last major title at the Australian Open? Yeah, that's how bad of a badass she was. 12:57 news with Liz Kern coming up next, and we've got crime news on the agenda in the next hour. Stick with us on KMJ.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.